Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, hello, Rob Estes.
Hello, hello.
And thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
And it's really great to see you again. I remember we did some really great scenes together.
It's been a while.
So your first appearance. Okay, so you portrayed Jimmy Mariano, who's Jess's dad, in 2 episodes. One is season 2, episode 20, Say Goodnight Gracie, and the last one was season 3, episode 21, Here Comes the Sun. That's it. That's the sum total. And it seems like so much more. So you're known for your roles as Harry Wilson in teen drama 90210 and Sergeant Chris Lorenzo in the crime drama series Silk Stockings, as Kyle McBride, primetime soap opera Melrose Place. Those are some very fancy credits, my friend.
They're very fancy shows.
Yeah.
Very fancy.
And you currently star in the Netflix After franchise playing Ken Scott. Let me start off here by welcoming you to the show, and thanks for coming on. But we recently recapped Here Comes the Sun, and we want some clarification on something. Okay. Did this episode serve as the pilot for Jess Jimmy spinoff Windblood Circle, or did you guys shoot another pilot episode?
No, we shot a pilot. It's funny because I knew you did.
Man, yes.
It was a very interesting time at WB because we shot a spinoff, and then I think some of the scenes filtered into actual Gilmore Girls, not the spinoff, obviously. Right. But it actually got picked up. I think they wanted to pick it up for 9. And if I recall, Amy wanted more episodes. She didn't want to do it for whatever they had okayed. And so she kind of went, well, then we're not going to do it. So it was very interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
So they don't. So the network gave you a 9-episode order, and Amy wanted a full 22 or something like that.
I don't know what the numbers were. It could have been 6. They wanted 6, and she said 13. I don't recall the numbers. I just remember it was a pretty big issue. There were some phone calls that went back and forth. And in the midnight hour, she went, okay, well then I'm not going to do it. I'm good.
Interesting. So, because we were going back and forth on the show, I distinctly remembered that you did shoot a separate pilot, but the girls in the research was telling them that no, that served as the pilot, those two scenes in the show, and the fans didn't react, so they didn't.
No, we absolutely did.
I remember you shooting the pilot. I think I even went down and visited Milo while he was shooting the pilot. I remember I came down one day.
We shot it on the boardwalk. We shot it right off Abbot Kinney at a house with Cheryl Lynn. And Milo was awesome. I mean, we had such a good time. He's such a good kid.
Oh, yeah. So tell me what it was like working with him.
I mean, it was funny because he was just, he's kind of, you know, my interpretation is with Milo, he wears his heart. He's just very available and he's real in whatever he does. You know, I watch him on some of his stuff now, and I knew back then, I was like, once this is done, he's going to become huge, because he just, you know, he had a little place in Venice that he just got. And he was redoing the hardwood floors. He and his dad were doing, you know, work on it. And I don't know, man. He's a really good soul. So I'm glad to see how well he's done, because he deserves it. And he's a hard worker.
Right.
You know, you know him better than I. But that's my remembrance. And it was fun working on scenes that, you know, 1 a.m. on the boardwalk in Venice. crazy people hanging out. It was awesome. Right?
It's a unique place in the world. There's only one Venice, California, and that's it. When you got the role of Jimmy Mariano, did you know that this was the plan to have a spinoff? Is that how they booked you? Like, hey, you're going to be on the show.
We went in front of the network 4 times with different guys, hours and hours. So yeah, it was a setup pilot. And you know, Amy's dialogue is very specific. You know, I mean, she wants people to just roll and run things off. You know, it's like, that's why Lauren's so great at it. It just falls out of her mouth beautifully. Mm-hmm. And in the reading, in the tests, and I think we did 3 tests, it was just pages of, and I ended up getting cast in it, but I don't know that her dialogue fits in my mouth the way it needed to for it to be really successful. You know, and not that I was a death knell, but it's pretty specific, you know? And for me, I'm a little more, if there's an and or a but or a paraphrase, you know, that works for me. And that, you know, she was much more specific than that.
Interesting. How many other, so it was you and Milo, were you testing Cheryl with Lynn. Milo 3 times, or were you testing with other actors?
You know what? I don't think Milo was never in the room. It might have been me and Cheryl Lynn. I don't recall. I mean, it was so long ago. Okay. That was in the thick of, you know, there were so many in-person tests and auditions. It was just a different thing back then. And WB for me with Peter at the helm, creatively, there was just so much stuff going on there that my brain's a little foggy on it. But I know I never read with Milo until we, I think, a table read. And it was like, you know, it was really cool. Oh, no, it wasn't. It wasn't at a table read. I didn't work with Milo until I did some scenes in those, the 2 episodes that I was in. That was the first time I met Milo. And I thought he was awesome.
So you guys fit perfectly together as father and son. And I just wanted to tell you that. It really worked. The character, however, I you know, you say some interesting things, like her dialogue didn't fit in your mouth. I don't know that the character was so well conceived.
So well thought out.
Yeah, I don't know. So address this, because it confused me when I was watching those scenes, because I know you're such a strong actor and you really know your stuff. But I was just kind of wondering how they thought somebody, and you're so likable, how somebody so likable could play a character that was so unlikable and right. think that was going to be successful.
I guess I don't remember all the facts of, mm-hmm. you know, what the backstory was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I remember there being a part of Jimmy that was like, okay, you know, on some level, it's, you know, maybe this is a way to make amends, atonement, even though I don't know that I'm capable of it. Because mm-hmm. he says to him, you know, and I don't want you at my house. I, you know, and in the midnight hour, I let him sleep on my couch. It's right. like, right. you know, what kind of person does that? But I think that's, you know, part of an arc is you want to get in there and cheer for the person. You're like, oh, what a, you know, this guy's got a lot of, you know, growing up and maturing to do. Is he capable of it? Mm-hmm. So I don't mm-hmm. know if that was going to be part of the arc. Maybe, you right. know, that was part of what right. was hoping supposed to happen. I don't know.
Right, right, right. Anyway, tell us about Sherilyn Fenn. What was it like working with her?
Oh, she was great, man. She was just in it. And it was so funny. I was like, you know, I grew up in Santa Monica and Venice, and she, you know, so many of my the high school females that I went to school with, you could say that back in the day, you know, they ended up living around there, and they were so much like her, just right. kind of like real chill and, you know, earthy. And back then, Venice wasn't, or Abbott Kenya wasn't, you weren't paying $3 million for a house. It was like the starter place.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
With the canals and everything. My sister lived there for a while, and it had some grit to it.
Right.
But she was great.
Yeah.
Very into working on scenes. If I recall, making adjustments, being able to make adjustments.
Did you read with her in the audition?
You know what? I may have. I don't recall.
Right.
I think we did. I think she and I read. You know what? I think I'd gotten cast. And then we were finding the other role. And I think she and I read then
right.
for her right. test. Or I dreamed it. I don't know, but that kind of,
that was a dream.
You know, yeah, that kind of rings a bell.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the scene in front of the bookstore with Milo. How did you memorize so much dialogue? What's your process like?
How did I memorize so much dialogue? It's so funny. I watched it a couple of days ago, just because, and it's like, oh God, you look at yourself in the old days, you're just like, oh, that's horrible. With Milo, we ran it a ton. We ran that scene so many times, and we ran it different ways. And he was just completely available and willing to do whatever. I think at that time I was working with Larry Moss in his class, and we did all kinds of fun exercises. And Maya was like, I'm in, man. I'm game. You want to paraphrase the whole scene? Let's paraphrase the whole scene. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do it with a Texas accent, whatever works for you. Mm-hmm. So we have fun. We just threw it around, and I think the process for me was trying to get underneath why I was there, there was a connection there again with the two of us as characters. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And if you think you're a really shitty dad, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Even when you think you still don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. But do you have kids?
Yeah, I have a son. Yeah.
Oh, how old?
Yeah, he's 8. He's 8.
Okay. Congratulations. 8.
Yeah, thanks. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
I have 3. Yeah, I got a 23-year-old, which I was thinking about because, as kids get older, things flip. And you look at the mistakes that you've made and you're like, oh, from lack of your own maturity,
Right, right.
And every parent's gonna make mistakes, but
sure.
So anyway, absolutely. I don't know. With Milo, just that scene made me rethink of like, okay, yeah, a dad. I wish I'd known that back then.
But do you remember? Yeah, I mean, look, every parent makes mistakes.
Yep.
It's inevitable. There are no perfect parents. Hey, man, I just as long as you show up and you're there. I think, and that's half the battle. So
I like that.
Do you remember the day? Because I remember very distinctly. Not about a spinoff, but about getting Gilmore and becoming a series regular. Do you remember the day you were told about the spinoff going forward and that you were involved in it?
I don't. I don't remember the day. Yeah. No, it was kind of, for me, it was a really crazy time because I had a holding deal with Warner Brothers, and just like so much stuff came at me really fast.
Hmm.
And I could never quite, catch up with some of the things that were happening.
So tell us about that. So for the fans listening in, a holding deal is when they pay an actor not to take
anything else.
Job. Right. So you're just, they pay you a pretty nice chunk of money to cool your heels for a year, right? Until they can find something to put you in, and you don't have to take it. They can suggest it and they send you the scripts. What do you think about this?
Right.
Would you like to do that? We see you in this role.
It's a nice position because you can actually, you know, look at what you might want to do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you go and you meet with showrunners and you see if there are avenues that are interesting to you that way. I wish I would have been a little more business savvy back then.
Tell us about some of the projects you met on. And were there any projects that you met on that went on and did big things?
It's funny because I always wanted to do a sitcom. That was one of my things. So, you know, this is literally.
What year are we talking about? What year are we talking about here?
We're talking about, I'm going to guess.
2003, 2004?
No, earlier than that. I would say probably 2001 and a half.
And you had a holding deal at Warner Brothers in 2001.
So, how it happened was I was doing Melrose Place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I think Gilmore Girls, you guys did 22 a year, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we did 36 a year. So on Melrose, you would do 36 a year. You'd have two teams. You have a red team and a blue team. And the characters would be heavy in one and light in another. So you get two paychecks a week.
Nice.
You do 36 a year, you know, for a total of, I think, 200 and something. Wow. Long story short, Spelling, you know, was done with the show. Fox was kind of done with the show. And I'm on set in the middle of a scene. And the AD comes over and goes, "Hey, there's a phone call for you." And I was like, "Okay, they can wait." He goes, No, there's a phone call for you. You need to take it right now." And I'm like, "Well, dude, we're about to shoot." He said, "I don't care. Go pick up the phone." And I was like, "That never, when does that happen?
Is it the President of the United States? What's going on here?"
People going, "What?" You know. So I go, and it's Peter Roth, who was the head of TV development for Warner Brothers.
Yeah, he was the president, the big guy.
Yeah, Bob. Yeah, Peter. "Oh, hey, Peter, what's going on?" And I knew him from working with Cannell. He ran Cannell's company for a while. He goes, "You got to do me a favor." And I said, "What?" He goes, "You got to stay and work for me." And I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Hey, there's a couple other things that are happening." And he goes, "Listen to me. I will make this worth your while. You're going to stay with us and we're going to get a holding deal. We'll get it done by tomorrow." Okay.
So out of the blue like that, your agent hadn't approached them. It was just Peter picking up a phone, calling you right on set. All right.
He went around the back door because we knew each other. And I knew that, you know, I mean, I'd actually rather have the conversation than agents at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I said, you know, "I'm down for this, but I don't want to sit and wait a year." I said, "If you can get me so I'm working, I really want to do a sitcom." So I ended up doing Suddenly Susan for a season. Wow. And then I did a John Burroughs pilot called Tikiville. So I got to do some things I really wanted to do. And it just kind of built from there. We did two pilots. And then I can't remember what ultimately I ended up getting the Evidence for John Wells, the John Wells project that we shot in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So, it was really fun. It was fun to, you know, to get to jump to front of lines just because Peter Roth went, "No, it's his."
Right. Yeah. Huh.
You know.
Wow. Fantastic. But, so what was the reaction, like getting back to this pilot episode, right? And was the pilot ever aired?
No.
Okay.
That's why I was shocked to see some of the scenes sprinkled in. I was like, "Wait, I think that was from the pilot." No, it never aired. The pilot never aired.
Right. Okay. So did you recall any reaction from Gilmore fans at the time about those scenes and about the pilot that never saw the light of day?
I remember the loyalty to Gilmore Girls was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So I'd be in the market, whatever, and the reaction was, oh my God, hey, you know, what's going to happen with this? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I think it's going to be another show. And it was great. And I remember distinctly at Gelson's, somebody kind of saying to me, you better be a good dad to him. You better be there for him. And I was like, what? Like, you know, and there was no preamble. There was no, hey, you better be there for him. And I was like,
yeah,
I don't know you. What? And they're like, yeah.
No. They know you. The Gilmore fans are the real deal, man. They're incredible.
Cool. Yeah. Good group.
So what are your favorite memories from being on that set?
You know, God, it's going to sound weird, but for me, in the lemonade stand, my little sister worked in that lemonade stand growing up.
Oh, really?
And I'm in there mixing it up and running the place. I mean, I can remember, being on that boardwalk, summertime when it was 90 degrees and I'd been at the beach all day. I remember this little gang of us that would go and be on that boardwalk and go and, be in a lot of the places that we filmed out in front of the bookstore. So that was cool. And then Milo and I, it was winter when we shot it. And I showed up with an old vintage World War II jacket. And Milo has really good style. Milo's just, he's tight and he doesn't throw it in your face. It's not about money. He just has good taste. And I said to him, I said, you dress so humble, but sharp. And he goes, I was just thinking the same about you, your boots and the jacket. And I was like, well, I was thinking the same about you. And he goes, well, we should go shop Melrose. So we took a day and just the two of us went and got food, shopped Melrose, cruised around. He got a World War II jacket exactly like I had. It was really cool. So I wish it would have. I think my takeaway from that whole environment is that I wish I would have had more time with that character and with Milo and with Amy, because she's so talented, just to see what could have blossomed. Because I don't think it was quite there. But as you know, how many shows have you done? And Gilmore Girls might have been one of them that, the first four or five episodes, they're okay. And then the writer starts to write for you a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, the show really starts to take its form and it gets great exponentially sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I wish I would have had the shot at seeing if that was the trajectory of the spinoff.
Right.
Didn't happen though.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver.
And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So after Gilmore, you went on to other TV shows and films, obviously, and currently you are in After, the After franchise on Netflix. What else do you have coming up, if any?
Well, it's funny because After Ever Happy, which is the 4th installment, it came out in theaters today. So that's kind of cool. So it's in local theaters now for anybody who wants to jump on and see it.
Tell us a little bit about it. What's your character?
It's great. Anna Todd is the writer. She wrote a series of 5 kind of young, not young, I would say 20-something romantic novels. And the two leads, Hero Fiennes and Josephine, have become huge stars. I mean, and again, it's the fans are almost as rabid as the old Gilmore Girls. I mean, they have a loyalty. They post things and it's like, you know, 1 million hits, 2 million hits. And it was built from the ground up. Anna Todd wrote it as an e-series. She got 1 billion hits. Then she sold the books. And now Voltage is making the films. And this one's really good. It's awesome. I play the lead's dad. I'm the dad. I like it.
Okay.
And he's just a great guy. Actually reminds me of Milo, just really solid human being. Right. So it's been a blast to do them. Then I got a movie, Beautiful Disaster, that'll come out in a couple months. So just, you know, doing it.
Right.
Being a dad and trying to keep it moving.
Right. All right. So you can get After on Netflix right now. They dropped it already.
You can get the old ones. There's 4 of them. You can get those on Netflix, and the one After Ever Happy literally hit theaters today. So it's in. It got a big national release today.
Right. Let me see. What else? Anything else you want to talk about? Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to discuss the fact that of the best looking guys on Gilmore Girls, you're number 5 and I'm number 44. Damn you. Just had to add that in there, did you? Yeah,
what are you talking about? Who rated this?
I think it's on. I was looking on IMDb. I was dying, man. I'm like, oh, 44? Number 5.
Number 5.
Dude, I just remember you with the hat backwards. You were so comfortable. You were really good.
Thank you. But who are the top four? What, Milo, Matt?
No, you beat Milo.
I beat Milo? No.
Yeah, you killed him, man. You crushed him.
Wait,
so
but,
hold on. Dan Wells.
Who's Dan Wells?
See, there you go.
He was number one?
That's what I thought. Yannick Lee, Matt Kuzguski, Scott Patterson.
Wait a minute. You say Yannick Truesdale was number two. Dan Wells number one.
Number one was Dan. Yannick Truesdale.
Number
Lee
two.
Rearman.
I don't know who that is.
Huh. Matt Zerski.
Zucri. Yeah.
And then you, an accomplished actor in film, television, and theater. Scott Patterson is well known as television. Awesome. Jackson Douglas. Coming in at number seven, Milo Ventimiglia. And then if I scroll way down.
Oh my God, man.
Well, that's funny though, right?
We made the list. At least we made the list, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know? We made the list, baby.
Yeah. You know, I don't even do facials, man. So it's like, you know, I don't belong there, but what the hell?
We're all good.
Got to represent the regular guys. Right?
That's right, man.
Well, listen, it's been a pleasure catching up,
man.
And thank you for your time. Rob Estes, one of the most well-known and best actors working in the guy. I mean, when did you start out? I mean, would you start out in the mid '90s or
acting?
You started
I was a stuntman for a while. I hated that. And then I started doing theater. Ended up working with Michael. Remember Michael Winters?
Sure.
Yeah. So he and I did a play in Seattle. We did
Taylor Dozy. You're talking about Taylor Dozy.
Yeah. I did a play with him in Seattle.
Okay. Right.
Chekhov's Three Sisters. Oh, he was so good.
Yeah.
He's
great.
Man.
He's great. Yeah. He's great.
But I just went into theater. Like, I don't know. I just kind of fell into it. I was a dancer. I was break dancing in Venice again for Michael Jackson commercial. The
really?
Day his hair caught on fire. So I felt very good. So I got my SAG card.
Wait a minute. Tell us about that. I mean,
so,
come on.
I was a break dancer forever. I don't know how or why. I guess because I was in Venice so much on our football team. Everybody, we just did that. And, I was at a club one night and this lady came and said, "Hey, I got a commercial and you'd be great for it." And I had long blonde hair and funky clothes. And I said, "Okay." She goes, "Well, show up to this thing and I want to audition you." And I said, "Okay." So I show up and there's this kid, Pup and Taco, Ice-T, all these real dancers and rappers before rap was rap. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Okay, cool. You're hired. I said, "I don't have a SAG card." She goes, "Well, no, we have to pay the penalty of $1,500 because you can do something, whatever." So I got my SAG card that way. So I'm on Venice Beach, and I didn't even know the Michael Jackson connection.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm on Venice Beach in a tank top and these funky clothes, just, you know, hitting all this stuff on the boardwalk. And we're doing it for 4 or 5 hours, windy. And all of a sudden, there's all these walkie-talkie clicks going off and people freaking out. I'm like, what happened? We're closing up shop. I said, "Why are we closing up shop?" So there's been an accident at Shrine Auditorium. And it was when Michael Jackson's hair caught on fire. And I was like, okay. So I wasn't at the Shrine.
Oh,
I wasn't there.
Okay.
But we were shooting an accompanying piece. And they shut everything down and it never aired. There was never communication from there on. But it was a trip.
But that was your first gig.
And that was my SAG.
That was it. That was it. And you were what?
That's how I got in 1986.
Right. You're still in high school.
I was out of high school.
You were out of high school.
I was at USC.
You were at
USC. I auditioned for their BFA program.
Huh. You were on the football. You were on the football team at USC?
No, BFA, Bachelor of Fine Arts. So, no, I was an act, not a football player.
Oh, because you said the guys on the football team did a lot of breakdancing. So, that was high school football
team? The guys on our football team when I was in high school.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, I learned when I was, you know, in middle school and high school.
Gotcha.
And then when I went away to college, I would put out a big piece of cardboard and make money on the side.
Oh, wow.
Hilarious. Yeah, wow. But boy, the injuries, man. I should have been on a football team. Beat you up, but fun.
God, I wish we could see some footage. If we could
I wish I had some.
Now you don't have any footage of you breakdancing? Come on. What? Really? You don't have any footage of you breakdancing?
No.
Really?
I did a May company. Well, think about it. Back then, there were no cell phones. There were no, like nobody.
Yeah.
I remember going and watching Flashdance in the movie theater like 30 times to try to get those dances down. But right. There was no, you know, you couldn't stream. Yeah. You couldn't just take out your phone and go bing.
Yeah.
The whole to-do. So
unbelievable. Wow. Another side. Surprising side of Rob Estes. That's very, very interesting. All right, buddy. I'm not going to take up any more of your time. I know you're busy. Thank you.
Yeah, it was good to
yeah, right? And I really love that. You know, that one scene we did where I come in and tell you to get the hell out of town and to leave Jess alone. I love that scene so much. It's one of my favorite Luke scenes because it really was him protecting, you know, his family. So it's those kinds of scenes really resonate with me. And you were great. What a great scene that was. I think I put it on my reel. I think that's on my reel. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, really special catching up. Thank you for the time. Keep on keeping on, man. You're as good as it gets and a good guy. And we really appreciate you coming on.
Okay? I appreciate you. Be well, bro.
All right, buddy.
All right, Scott.
Take care.
See you. Bye.
Everybody, and don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at gilmore@iheartradio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, scottyp.com, scottyp.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.